Thank you very much for introduction. And today I'm going to talk about UDP trace map on chi algebras. This is based on joint work with Celine. I will first discuss about our motivation of this work, and then give a kind of introduction to chi algebra and chi homology. In the second half, I will discuss about BV quantization and the relationship between chi homology, chi complex, and the quantum mass equation. And finally, I will mention about Witten genus. So here is our motivation. So suppose we have here is the compact simplicity. Suppose we have a compact simplicity manifold, and then the dual of the simplicity form, which is a Poisson bivector, will give rise to a Poisson algebra structure on the smooth functions on M. Deformation quantization of this algebra is defined to be an H-bar linear associative product on the smooth functions adjoined with a formal H-bar parameter. And they require that in our sense of deformation quantization, we only look at the star product, which is given by differential operators. And we require a classical limit. That means that if we let H-bar formally equal to zero, we go back to our original pointwise multiplication, which is commutative. And the first order non-commutativity is that we require that this non-commutative bracket, the linear term is given by the Poisson bracket. Okay. Suppose that we have already had a deformation quantization, which I denote by AH bar. And you can prove that there exists a unique linear map, which is called trace map, satisfying these two properties. The first property is the trace property, which means this trace map analyzes the commutator. And the second property is a normalization, which a leading term will be given by the volume form of a simplified manifold. So these two properties determine uniquely this trace map. So the question is that how to compute the trace one. So the computation of trace one is exactly a version of algebraic index theorem. So the algebraic index theorem claims that the trace one is equal to the integration up to some phase factor of a hat genus of our simplified manifolds. So this is called algebraic index theorem because that this was first formulated by Fedosov and Essen Segan as a kind of algebraic analog of algebraic index the original analytic Artiosinger index theorem. So you can apply some microanalysis to derive the original Artiosinger index theorem from this algebraic one. So let me mention about the connection between the algebraic index theorem, algebraic index theory, to topological quantum mechanics. So in these two works, we establish a kind of rigorous connection between effective BV quantization of one-dimensional topological quantum mechanics and algebraic index theorem. So the output of effective BV quantization can be realized a trace map on Hausdorff homology of the quantum algebra. And the trace one can be calculated by Feynman diagrams on S1, some integration of configuration space on S1. And we can kind of reprove algebraic index theorem. So let us briefly review the Hausdorff homology, and later I will focus on a chi homology. So let's fix a base field K and consider associated algebra A over K, and consider a K module which is defined by in this way. And the Hausdorff boundary can be defined using this formula. But there is a kind of intuitive picture for this formula. So when you take the Hausdorff boundary, you just kind of let the adjacent point collide. Okay. So if we take our A to be the deformed algebra, and our base field be a long series of H bar, then the trace map on Hausdorff homology can be viewed as a partition function of the one-dimensional topological quantum mechanics system. And in this talk, we will focus on trace map in two-dimensional conformal field theory, which the Hausdorff homology is replaced with the chi homology. So also our motivation comes from Witten's proposal of index theorem on loop space, which replaces S1 by an elliptic curve. And we kind of study the so-called curved beta gamma system of a tangent bound of a complex manifold. And we want to convince you that there exists a two-dimensional analog of algebraic index. So here is a rough comparison between a one-dimensional algebra and two-dimensional vertex algebra. So one-dimensional algebra, our online manifold is S1, and the algebra structure is given by associative algebra structure. And the corresponding homology theory is given by a Hausdorff homology. In two-dimensional, the online manifold is a Riemann surface equipped with a complex structure, and the algebra is vertex algebra, and the homology is chi homology. Yeah, and then I will briefly review the notion of vertex algebra, vertex operator algebra, and chi algebra. So a vertex algebra is a vector space equipped with some structures. So we have a state field correspondence, and we have vacuum vector, and we have a translation co-invariance, and we have our locality. This means that here PA is the parity of our elements in the state space. So we have this intuitive picture for the two insertions of our operator. So from the axiom of vertex algebra, we have we can derive some properties. The first one is called anti-symmetry. The intuition is that when we kind of move A towards to B using conformal transformation is equivalent to we move B minus A to A. So it translates to the above vertex equality identity in vertex algebra. And a second one is that if we kind of exchange contour using residue theorem, we get our famous Borsche's identity in our vertex algebra. Okay, so here is the kind of free theory, some simple example of our vertex algebra. So if we take H here to be a super vector space and equipped with a symplet pairing. And we will we can obtain a vertex algebra structure on this free differential ring. And the OPE is generated by this OPE relation. So it's kind of free theory. It's also called free beta gamma BC system. And if we only have bosonic part, it's called beta gamma system, and it can be viewed as a chiral version of the Y algebra of the cotangent bundle of CM. Now we move to the concept of chiral algebra, and later I will explain how to get a chiral algebra from a vertex algebra equipped with some structure, additional structure. So let X be a complex smooth curve. Benz and Greenfield introduced a concept of chiral algebra on the global curve X. So the, first of all, the chiral algebra itself is a right D module and equipped with a D module map from the bisection to the D module diagonal push forward of it, of chiral algebra itself. So here in the notation, the star delta means that we allow arbitrary meromorphic poles along the diagonal. And we also have this axiom called antisymmetry, means that if we exchange the order of bisection, we get a minus sign. And there is the permutation of the D module on this vector. And we also require a Jacobian identity. So if we have a trisection with meromorphic pole around the diagonal, we have this kind of meromorphic version of Jacobian identity. So later we will say that actually we can view the chiral algebra as some kind of the algebra object inside a non-unital tensor category. And the chiral homology will define as kind of Shabalai, the algebraic homology of this object. The algebra homology of this this object. So from quasi-conformal vertex algebra, which roughly means that we have a kind of the auto-all action, and I will explain this paragraph here. So suppose we have a coordinate bundle of our Riemann surface, and the quasi-conformal just means that we can twist our vertex algebra into a vertex algebra bundle. So here, V is a bundle over our Riemann surface, and each fiber itself can be identified with the vertex algebra V. And there is a kind of flat connection on this infinite dimensional vertex algebra bundle. It is given by the holomorphic derivative and the translation of operator. And we can check that this connection is actually well defined. And this gives rise to a left D module on V. And we can turn this left D module into a right D module. And this right D module will be our chiral algebra. So from VLA, we have antisymmetry, Borsch's identity. It gets translated to chiral algebra with antisymmetry and Jacobian identity. So for local formula is that if we have the bisection, the chiral operation can be rewritten as using the n's standard notation of n's product of vertex algebra. So it's from a bisection with meromorphic pole to D module push forward of our chiral algebra. And then I will give a kind of a quick summary of some results in chi homology. So the first, maybe it's not first, but it's kind of first systematic study of degree zero chi homology, also known as conformed Borg in physics, studied by Yongchang Zhu. And he established the model invariance of certain class of VLA. Actually, it's kind of called the C2 cofinite VLA. Okay, but actually, few years before his paper, actually, Benson and Greenfield already introduced the concept of chi homology for general chi algebra on arbitrary Riemann surface using the Chauvelet cousin complex I will introduce later. But the original definition of chi homology is kind of very hard to compute explicitly. But you can check a recent result by Akron and Harani. They kind of write down a kind of very explicit Kyle chain complex to compute the first few low degree terms. And recently, a work by Nick Rosenbill clarifies some kind of old confusions. So, the chi homology for integral quotient of Alban Kasmoudi at positive level is concentrated on degree zero. So the only interesting about the usual Russian safety is the usual conformed Borg, there are no derived ones. But for the example we studied today, like the free beta gamma BC, they have higher derived conformed Borgs. So now I will review the construction of Bayes and Greenfield. So let me first introduce a concept of D modules on some kind of infinite dimensional variety. It's some kind of so X is still a Riemann surface or algebraic curve, smooth algebraic curve, and S be a kind of diagram category, which objects are finite non-empty sets, and morphisms are surjective maps. So it's kind of combinatorial data to describe how points kind of collide. So the definition of a D module on this so-called XS is just an assignment. It's just a rule that assigns each finite sets in this category a right DXI module, XI. And the additional structure is that we have a kind of structural morphism between these two D modules. And here, the delta lower star pi is the D module push forward of the diagonal embedding of xi to xj. So because we have a surjective map from j to I, so this means that some points of j kind of shrink to one point in I. So we have a diagonal embedding from xi to xj. And we have this D module push forward, and the additional data is structural morphism of D modules. So obviously, we need to kind of require a compatibility condition that requires this diagram commutes. So we have two suggestion maps, and we have the composition, and we need this diagram. So let us denote the D modules on XS by MXS. And we also denote the ordinary D modules by MX. So we can have a very natural exact free physical embedding from the X from the D module on X to the D module on XS. The definition is very simple. We define this delta lower star m, which the D module on xi is defined by the D module push forward of this small diagonal embedding. So so this is kind of the D module obtained in this way is kind of supported on the diagonal of axis. So the point is that on this category of D module on axis, there is a non-unital tensor product called Kyle tensor product. So we need to define the tensor product of a family of object called MI. So the first very natural choice of tensor product is just an ordinary box tensor product. But here, the tensor product here, we allow arbitrary meromorphic poles on the transversal diagonal. So the definition, so suppose we have a family of object of MI, which are objects of D modules on XS, and the Kyle tensor product is still an object in MXS, and we only need to know its value on XJ. So the formula is the following: we do a box with some over surjective maps, and we do the box tensor product, and we allow the poles kind of along the transversal diagonal. And here is the intuitive picture for this Kyle tensor product. So we have our MI here. We have our subjection from I to J. This means we group elements of J into some pieces, which identify to I. And each of these dot circle denotes the corresponding D module on MI XJI. XJI is the inverse image of a subjection map. And the pole that we allow is that we allow poles from the different groups. So the upshot is that the Kyle algebra under the fully feasible embedding we introduced in the previous slides define the algebra object inside this tensor category. So the anti-symmetry and Jacobian identity translates to the axiom of the so-called the algebra object. So then we can apply the Shaolai-Ehrenberg complex construction as we do in kind of an ordinary Lie algebra to compute the Lie algebra homology. So the result element will be a complex in the category of D module on XS. And then we want to compute, because it's a right D module, we can compute the Durham cohomology of this D module over XS. So the definition of Kyle homology is defined by the Durham cohomology of this complex. In order to do explicit calculation, we can use the usual double resolution to resolve the Govers section functor, and we use Spencer resolution to resolve the right D module structure. So we can first look at the simplest Kyle algebra, which is the unit Kyle algebra. So the omega x is a canonical bundle of x, and the Kyle operation from omega x that allows arbitrary poem G. It's just it's given by the residue map. So because we have poles, we have bi differential, we can take a residue to here. So we can have Z1 minus Z2 and with some bisection, and we take a residue. So it makes omega x into a chi algebra. And we can kind of calculate the chi homology of this unit chi algebra. So there is an explicit trace map on the chi homology of unit chi algebra. Is constructed by Benson and Schoenfeld. And you can view it as a way to integrate singular forms on the product of Riemann surface. So this trace map is a quasi-isomorphism. It reflects the fact that the Riemann space of X is weakly contractible. So it's a kind of topological fact. Why it is useful is because that from the definition of Kao chain complex, we know that we have these singular forms, like the Bu forms, but with kind of meromorphic poles. So from the usual calculus, usually you cannot define the integral of such singular forms because it is not the usual logarithm forms that you can integrate. But using this trace map, you can use this trace map to define the kind of integral of this singular forms. So the trace property, this means that we annihilate the total differential, the exact term in Kao chain complex, exactly the can be translated exactly into the Stoker's formula that you want. Okay, so this turns out that this trace map coincides with regularized integral introduced by Sidi and Zhou recently. And so, in other words, the trace map itself can be viewed as some kind of homological renormalization of some singular integrals. So in other words, we can regularize Feynman integrals in this way using trace map. Okay. So now in the second half, I will kind of review the formalism of BB quantization. And then I will explain the relationship between Kao chain complex and quantum mass equation. And finally, I will mention Witten genus. So here is a rough idea about BB formalism. So the BB formalism is kind of a general way to quantize gauge theory with gauge symmetries. So, in mathematics, we have the structure of BV algebra and quantum mass equation. And we also need to do renormalization to ensure that Feynman integrals are finite. But there are a lot of ways to do regularization. Kevin Koester built a mathematical framework using Hilly kernel cutoff and introduced counterterm to build a rigorous BV theory. But in our case, as I mentioned in previous slides, we actually can use trace map as a regularized integrals of our renormalization scheme. Okay. And here I give a comment that since the weak contractibility of Riemann space also holds for high dimension varieties as well, so it's reasonable to expect in high dimension we can still regularize finite integrals in this way. Here is the definition for our BV algebra. So a BV algebra is a graded commutative associative unital algebra. And the most important structure is that we have a BV operator, which is degree one. And the failure of BV operator being a derivation is given by a so-called BV bracket. And the BV bracket, you satisfy a graded Leibniz rule. So the concept of quantum mass equation is kind of quantum consistency condition. So the quantum mass equation is simply this equation that satisfying BV closed condition. So it translates to into this form that if you worry about the exponential kind of conversion issue of the exponential, you can use this definition. Here is a slightly generalization of quantum mass equation. Is that if we have a chain complex into a BV algebra, we can add into the BV mass equation with a differential d. Okay, so if we take our complex be a trivial complex, and this map satisfy the generalized quantum mass equation if and only if this element itself satisfies quantum mass the ordinary quantum mass equation. So roughly, if we run a BV machinery to a BV machinery for a quantum field theory, we can get a factorization algebra in the sense of Costello-Graham, which is a sage bar module equipped with certain algebra structure. And we can also have a mathematical definition of factorization homology, which you can compute as a chain complex. And then we have a BV algebra of zero modes. And the partition function map can be viewed, can be realized as a trace map on factorization complex of the observer algebra, satisfies the generalized quantum mass equation. Okay, so here is the kind of general strategy of a general structure in mathematical aspect in mathematical theory of BV formalism. So here we first look at the previous example that we discussed, the one-dimensional topological quantum mechanics. So in one-dimensional topological quantum mechanics, the quantum observable can be identified. Local quantum observable can be identified to the model part, the wire algebra of the phase space, and the factorization homology is given by the Hochschild chain complex. Here is the definition of the model wire product, which is a deformation quantization of the commutative product. And the zero modes is given by a BV algebra. And there is the trace map satisfying quantum mass equation. And actually, this trace map is a cos isomorphism. If we kind of compose this trace map with BV integration, we'll get a number that can be thought as so that the partition function of our quantum mechanics system. So now the trace property is easy to verify because it's kind of defining property. And using the Fedosov connection, you can globalize this construction. And then you do the finite diagram computation we can recover the antigens. So we want to kind of repeat this procedure to our case of two-dimensional free beta gamma system. So let the VOA to be the free beta gamma BC system. As I mentioned before, is a chiral analog of Weyl-Clifford algebra, and this gives rise to a chiral algebra in the sense of Bayes and Greenfield, and the factorization homology will be a chiral homology we defined in the previous slides. And we repeat the machine, we run the BVM machinery again. And the factorization algebra now is a chiral algebra. And the factorization homology is a chiral chain complex. And we also have a BVA algebra of our zero modes. And now here we come to our question is that we want to construct a solution of our generalized quantum mass equation. So here is our main theorem, claims that if x is an Dirac curve, we can construct an explicit trace map using Feynman diagrams satisfying quantum mass equation. And furthermore, this chain map, actually quantum mass equation is equivalent to say that this trace map is a chain map if we put differential on both sides. This chain map is actually a quasi-isomorphism. So you see that usually BV cohomology sits away from degree zero. So in this case, the chiral homology will be concentrated on higher degree. So very different from in contrast to rational CFT that people usually believe that we only have degree zero conform bulk. So here the story is very different. Okay. Let me explain a rough idea of the proof. So a typical element in chiral chain complex can be written as singular differential forms varied in chiral algebra. So the Chevalier-Ellenberg differential, which is also called chiral differential, describes the way that you collide to push forward of D modules. And the Bull resolution is the usual double forms, and the Spencer resolution corresponds to so-called the Durham differential. So, using Feynman diagrams, actually Feynman diagrams construction turns out to be a chain map from the chiral chain complex of free beta gamma BC system to unit chiral chain complex tensor with BV algebra. So this gets translated to this red identity. And now we apply the trace map of Bayes and Greenfield to integrate this part. And we get an element in BV algebra. So the trace map, by the definition of trace map, it satisfies this property. This exactly translates to Stokes' theorem of ordinary integrals. So trace map can be viewed as some kind of integration of singular forms, and the composition of these two maps just means that we integrate Feynman integrals. So here is just some diagram illustration. So we have some operator insertion vertices have kind of many external legs, and we do Feynman diagrams, which is a chain map. And our final definition of chase map is the composition of these two. And here is a further procedure. And you see that here is the notation of regularized integrals, which can be say, which is equal to the trace map of Baynes and Grünfeld. So the usual Stokes formula is translated exactly to the trace property of the trace map. Okay. Now I will explain how to say Witten genus in this picture. So the construction is the following. So if you have some Lie subalgebra of inner duration of our Kao algebra, this our construction can be extended to the algebra co-chain. That means we have this generalized quantum mass equation. Here, the say Li is the Chevalier the Chevalier-Ellenberg co-chain complex of G module of the home of our Kao chain complex. So now we can apply our combine this construction and formal Galfond Kashtan geometry to get a Witten genus. So the final result is the following. So if we take beta gamma B system to be bosonic, that means we only have beta gamma system of rank n, and the WN tilton, which is a kind of special extension of the algebra of formal vector fields with n variables. Then up to a single, up to a very simple factor, theta, the trace map of identity can be identified with formal Witten genus inside this relative the algebra co-chain complex. This can be proved using Feynman diagram arguments. So here is some related works. So this set up actually for very closely to the philosophy of formal geometry formulated by Galfond and Kashtan. And it also appears in Kantarovich's work on the globalization of deformation quantization, and also later the quantum field theory interpretation by Cardano Felder's work on Poisson sigma model. And also it appears from this kind of strategy originated from Costello's work on his geometric construction of Witten genome. And several examples are listed here. Gradient William studied the cotangent type of quantum mechanics. Gradient Li studied the general symplectic manifolds. And Gobanov Graham Williams studied the factorization algebra structure using BV formalism of beta gamma system. So here is a rough summary of my talk. So the BV formalism can be formed in this way. So in one-dimensional topological quantum mechanics, we have associative algebra, Hausdorff homology, and our quantum mass equation. And the position function can be computed as integrals on configuration space. And these tools led us to reformulate algebraic index theory. So we can kind of have a nice theory of algebraic index. If we move to two-dimensional chiral setup, we have the algebra structure is potential algebra, and we have the concept of chi homology, and we also find quasi-isomorphism satisfying quantum mass equation, and we can compute the trace map using regularized integrals of singular forms on the product of Riemann surface. And as I mentioned before, we can see written genus here. It can be thought as a kind of elliptic Kyle algebra index. So here is some kind of a future work. So for high genus, so actually our construction actually also applies to high genus, but involves more some kind of some technical difficulties, but it's still there are no conceptual difficulties there. It's a work in progress with Kai Shi. And for M to be kind of for general vector bundle, not the trivial bundle of free beta gamma BC system, suppose that we have a symplectic representation of a complex Lie group. We can study, the chiral symplectic bosons, which are almost the same as beta gamma system, despite of change of spins. Symplectic boson is generated by the twisted bundle, associated bundle twisted by the square root of our canonical bundle. P here is the homomorphic, principal G bundle on X. So the space of chi homology we mentioned in this talk, it's actually a D module on module space of bundle G bundles. The flat connection is given by the insertion of some cosmotic current. Okay, so it can be viewed as quantization of Galato's Lagrangian in the module space of G Higgs bundles. And our construction of trace map is kind of explicit realization of some wave functions. Okay. And we can also more general study holomorphic symplectic varieties, this kind of nonlinear version of chiral symplectic bosons. Okay. And also it's interesting to ask Friedenholm interpretation of this result, because our index theory is based on the algebraic aspect, like chiral homology. We actually didn't compute the real index of some Hilbert space. So maybe it's interesting to look for a Friedenholm interpretation. And we can also ask for chiral index for families, because on a circle we do not have modulized, but in algebraic index theory, we can study family index on a target, or family of target manifolds, this kind of family index theorem. But here we can have more freedom that, because we can change our module of Riemann surface, as well as we can change move inside the module space of target. Also, we can kind of ask the same question of high-dimensional chi algebras, the similar construction, will the similar construction work? Yes, it's yeah. Here is just some kind of left to future study. Yeah, I think it kind of lost a little bit. So, but yeah, thank you very much.
Fantastic listening to the speaker. All right, do we have any questions? Okay.
Maybe I missed it was said, but what is the analogy of this algebraic index theorem for these trace for chiral algebras? Like, what is the trace of unity in this stuff?
I missed a row here. So here, the trace of identity is equal to integration of A hat genus of the simple Lemmian fold. So if we study a curved beta gamma system, the trace of one here of the chiral differential operators is equal to some integration of Witten genus. It's kind of parallel to the one-dimensional case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thanks, MP, again.
Thank you.